Your host, Parker, Dan, and Angela, slice and dice their way through the good.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
The bad.
You brought the devil!
There's a devil inside everyone.
And the ugly movies you love.
And you can't piss on hospitality! I won't allow it!
Hold your favorite films and franchises tight, because they aren't safe. In fact, it's already too late. It's time to dissect that film.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dissect That Film podcast, a podcast that dissects the good, the bad, and the ugly of cinema. I am your host, Brett Parker. Joining me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Dan and Angela of DNA Gaming.
Hello.
And our guest today is coming from us from the Great White North. He is comedian and host of the number one gaming podcast in Canada, Remember the Game. We have Adam Blank here.
What's up? Welcome.
Woo. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for being here. We have literally saved this movie specifically for you. And we've talked about this movie many times over the last two and a half years. And yeah, we've had this on the, not really on the calendar, but it has been on the list with your name next to it. And it's just kind of, you know, finding the time to finally get you back or get you on the show for the first time. So
I appreciate it. I feel like these negotiations have been ongoing for some time now. So I'm glad we were finally able to make everything work out. And thank you for saving it for me. I appreciate it. This is only like three movies I can talk about. So I appreciate you guys holding it for me.
I think it's because of, I think Dan had probably told me how much you love Ninja Turtles before I started listening to your show. And then listening to your show, I found out your true love for just the Ninja Turtles period. So I was like, okay, well, it's solid. We gotta put Adam down for whenever we are able to hop into this. But yeah, but we're not just talking about the original Ninja Turtles over the next couple weeks. We're gonna be going through the original 90s Ninja Turtles. So we're gonna be talking about Secret of the Ooze next week, and we're gonna be talking about part three in a couple weeks. So yeah, we are starting with the classic, the one that kind of started it all when it came to live action representation of the turtles, 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The family grows. The city itself will be our playground to use as we please, rewarding ourselves and punishing our enemies.
We've been looking for you, Miss O'Neill.
There is a new enemy. Freaks of nature. Together, we will punish these creatures.
What the heck was that?
Looked like sort of a big turtle in a trench coat.
So as we,
musical?
No, absolutely not. We're not covering the Michael Bay ones. We're not covering the animated ones. We're just going to be covering the 90s live action, the ones that kind of, started it all. Well, other than the animated series from the 80s.
Sure.
So as we do, we go around the room and we talk about our history with this movie. And we're going to start with our guest since we did save it for him. So Adam, tell us your history with TMNT.
Do you want to explain what his podcast is?
Here's the thing.
I have realized as I have edited episodes that I forget to do it in the beginning, but I always remember to do it at the end. So yeah, since you mentioned it, Dan, Adam, please tell everybody what Remember the Game. I just need to have a fucking checkpoint. Like, it's a checklist right here on my wall that tells me, okay, right now I need to say this. Okay. Adam, please tell us about Remember the Game.
I'll fit right in here because I make it up every week as I go. And there's no rhyme or reason in the world of Remember the Game at all. Remember the Game is a retro gaming podcast. I'm 40. I've been playing video games since like the mid 80s. And I got sick of all the gaming podcasts out there that were just political or either politics or like really boring history lessons. And I'm not saying you guys are boring, but like, you know, like a gaming show where they're like, well, in 1987, Shigeru Miyamoto had the idea for a movie or a game about the jungle. And it's like, dude, just put a little zip in it. So Remember the Game is just me and my friends talking about what we like and don't like about video games. And we are number one in Canada, episode 300 in a couple of months. It's fucking crazy. Wow. So that's it though. It's just basically me swearing and yelling at old video games. That's it.
And so, as always, we like to say everything, all the links, everything you need to find Remember the Game will be down in the description of the video or in the show notes. So make sure to check out Remember the Game. It is fantastic. We can all vouch for that because your podcast is a podcast that we all listen to, which is one of the few. So
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, back to where we were before. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you, man. Adam, tell us your history with TMNT.
Sure. I don't remember the first time I saw this movie because, again, I was born in 83. I remember being addicted to the cartoon. I think that was probably my introduction to Turtles was the old 87 cartoon. But then I do remember like having the VHS to this movie and watching this movie. Like, every kid had those movies that they just watched every day or like every second day. And for me, it was Ghostbusters and it was this. I watched this movie over and over and over. And like, I love Secret of the Ooze. I'm not going to get too far into that because you said you guys are covering that next week. I do remember seeing Secret of the Ooze in theaters and thinking it was awesome as well. But like, as a kid, this one was always my favorite. And I can't imagine there's a person listening to this or a Turtles fan out there that wouldn't agree that this, like, the original 90 film is the Turtles movie. And like, and it holds up, in my opinion, it holds up so well. I probably watch this movie 2 or 3 times a year. I watch scenes from it while I'm on the treadmill because they get me pumped up. I love the soundtrack to this movie. I think I love Donatello because Corey Feldman made him seem cool. I love everything about this, minus one small thing, which we'll get into. I love everything about this movie. I've seen it a million times. I love it.
All right. Dan, Angela, who wants to start?
You probably have more of a background with this than I do.
You know what? I'll get into that. That's fine. I'll take that bullet.
Because I'm pretty sure this is the first time I have seen this movie all the way through. So,
wow.
I know that I have seen it because it. I know it's came on TV, but there's parts of this I'm like, okay.
Well, you
keep
going.
Remember that, but
you're already deep into it. Just keep going.
That's about all I've got to say.
Actually, I have seen this. I don't remember very much of it. I think it was the cartoon that got me into Turtles when I was a kid. You know, I had a bunch of the toys and stuff like that. And I don't really remember like every beat of the film, but I always remember like the general, like, this is what the movie's about. But yeah, that was about it. It wasn't one I watched a lot, but I was more of a, like, at the time when I, like, any of the Turtle movies I watched a lot was, repetitively was the second one. Yeah. Secret of the Ooze was kind of like, because there's more, you know, it's not just the turtles. You got like Token, Razor. Like, there's more mutant things, and you know.
Secret of the Ooze is more fun. I think this is a better movie, but Secret of the Ooze is more fun.
Probably. I think, like, that's just my thought process with like kaiju movies. It's like, why have one when you can have 16 of them? Like, man.
All right, is it my turn?
I think so.
Oh, okay. So this was my introduction to the Turtles. Because when the show ended, I think I was only like a year old, so I wasn't into it until I think they started doing the reruns. Because I think Batman the Animated Series was like the big one when I was growing up, so that was my main animated show. So yeah, this was, I watched this one and number two on repeat all the time, you know, at my grandma's house. Number three, I think it was one of, even as a young kid, I watched number three once and went, okay, I think I'm good. I don't think I need to go back to that anytime soon. So, but yeah, this is just a great movie in every way. Like, the amazing effects from Jim Henson and his company, you know, the voice acting, the fact that people were able to do like the flips and stuff in the costumes. Oh my God, this movie just has it all. And it has some pretty good performances for kind of like this, you know, independent film, which was crazy to think about that this wasn't a studio film. So yeah, I love this movie. I grew up with it. So it and rewatching it last night was just a kind of, it brought me back to when I was a kid. And I can't wait to watch it again. So now we're going to do some, not history. It's called my Let's Go to Wikipedia or IMDb for some facts on this movie.
Oh, yeah. Team Wikipedia, baby.
So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was directed by Steve Barron, who also directed a lot of music videos, including Beat It by Michael Jackson and Billie Jean.
Of course he fucking did.
But when it came to movies, he directed Coneheads in 1993 and The Adventures of Pinocchio in 1996.
Oh, no.
Jesus, God.
God, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas, baby. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
This was written by Todd Langan and Bobby Herbeck, who would go on to do a lot of TV or nothing at all. So they actually wrote number two and then did nothing after that when it came
really?
To movies. So yeah.
They just bounced. They're like, I'm done. I've had my fair share. Don't want no part of it.
Of course, this was based on the comics written by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. Of course, the comics were a lot darker than what they would do with like the animated series, which came out in 87. And then this would be, what, 1990. But I guess they did follow along with storylines from the comics pretty faithfully, other than the fact that it's a lot more kid-friendly than the comics ever were. Because the comics were all black and white, right? They didn't do color.
Yeah, the comics were like, I've read a lot of the early comics and the reprints and stuff. The comics were hard as fuck. Like, they're not little kid. Like, 87 completely 180 the ninja. It'd be like, I mean, it's not quite the same, like, for lack of, because we were just talking about the movie Alien before we started. It would be like if those movies came out and then they were like, now we're making an Alien animated series, and just went the complete 180 and like made the aliens like really friendly and they all had personalities, and like it's just like they completely nerfed the turtles.
What that now? What a xenomorph who's like a sidekick to Ripley. Yeah. Like, come on, we gotta fight the queen.
But they totally nerfed him in the cartoon, and the movie's kind of a mix because they took a lot of elements from the original comics, but then they added in stuff like the multicolored headbands and more personality, and they kind of tried to meet it in the middle. And it frankly worked better than I would have imagined had I known at the time that they were trying to mash up those two things, like that cheesy cartoon show with these like gritty comics they didn't think anyone would ever read.
Yeah, because it's funny, because with the original animated series, they had their initials on their belts, right?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, well, just so you guys know who they are. Well, we did change we do have colored bands, but there you go. Because I think that was the only version, right, that had the initials on the belt, other than like when they were in video game form.
Yeah, like that's where it came. Yeah. And like, and from what I know, the reason they went to colored bandanas was so that they could sell more toys and stuff. Like, they're like, now each of them stand out a little. And I'm sure the letters on the belt buckles are a similar thing, which, like, I know they look stupid now, but I love the letters on the belt buckles. I'm a huge fan of those letters.
Timeless, man.
I mean it is. Ninja Turtles is kind of like Transformers in a way that the toy, like, the reason the animated series existed was because they wanted to sell toys. Yeah. Like, the animated series wouldn't have existed if they didn't go, we want to sell a fuck ton of toys. Because the comics, you know, that was just kind of a passion project for Eastman and Laird, where they were like, oh, well, we got something here. Let's do it. And so, because there's an episode of Toys That Made Us on Netflix all about the Ninja Turtle craze and the toy craze. So I would recommend checking it out if you haven't.
I want to say something. This reminds me of the inverse, this really weird thing I remember from when I was a kid, where we had the comics being gritty and then the source material, or dumbing it down for more general audiences. But there was a Street Fighter comic. I remember as a kid, my cousins had it. American produced comic, where I very vividly remember Ken. It was Street Fighter 2 time. Ken fought Sagat and got his ass beat. And when he lost, Sagat scalped him.
Oh,
dead fucking serious. This is a real comic from the 90s that I read.
That ever happened in the game?
That's a little Mortal Kombat. That's the Mortal Kombat in Street Fighter right there.
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, Sagat, man, you're real bitter about losing to Ryu that one time.
That's hardcore.
Speaking of like the comics being too violent, that there was Jim Henson was not happy with what they were like, what the movie kind of portrayed on screen. Like, he thought it was too violent. And Judith Hogue, who plays April O'Neil, I guess she complained a lot during the filming of it being too violent, and that's why she didn't come back for number two, is they didn't want her back. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
It's pretty crazy because you watch this movie, it's like, yeah, it's. I mean, I think there's like one scene that's like overly violent compared to the rest of the movie, but like even when like you have these giant fight scenes, yeah, people are getting punched and kicked, but it's like I feel like there's so much worse in kids movies. If you want to consider this a full-on fledged kids movie,
I don't think they're that bad. I was like,
no,
really? Like,
considering like considering one of them is a world-class ninja with two giant katana blades and nobody gets cut up.
Yeah.
And like, and one of them's got the, like, I know size aren't meant to like impale, but clearly they're impaling. I don't, and no one ever gets impaled. Like, there, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, especially with the gentleman that's wielding said size. He seems like the most likely to stab somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I agree. I don't think it's that violent at all.
Because I don't think we get to see them use their weapons, like, fully until the Michael Bay produced ones that came out in the mid-2000s. Like, 2012, whenever those movies came out. Because they were like, oh, well, you're going to be fighting CGI monsters, so you can use your your katanas or your size. Yeah. Like, because you're fighting Krang. Okay.
Weren't the foot soldiers, well, correct me wrong, I don't remember the cartoons and stuff like that. Were the foot soldiers always robots, or were they not always robots?
Because
no. In the game. I didn't know that. Not in the movies. I meant like an animated stuff.
In the animated series, they were robots.
Oh, okay.
And I assume that was so like Leo could slice them in half and not have blood and guts. Like it was like, oh, it's just a cheaply made robot. You know what I mean? Like I assume that was why. But yeah, they were robots. They weren't troubled youth. In the cartoon getting sliced up.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So for anyone who doesn't know this, the Foot Clan is a play on the hand from Daredevil.
Yep.
That was something I didn't know until later in life. I thought that was
hand, foot, and mouth disease. It's fine.
Who's the mouth gang?
Well, me. That's what I had to do to get Adam here.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a good answer because I couldn't think of something. That was a good answer.
I don't judge you.
Well done.
It's show business. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So going through our cast, we have Judith Hogue as April O'Neil. We have Elias Koteas as Casey Jones. I always thought this dude looked like he was like 45 playing Casey? Like a 20-year-old guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was only like 20. I think he was like 27 or 28 at the time of making this movie. Judith Hogue was like 26. So yeah, just shows that like people back in those days looked a lot older at younger ages.
Yeah, no doubt.
I guess.
I do like him though. I think he makes a good case.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. I mean, he definitely, this was like one of his most like out of left field performance. If you've ever followed anything that he's done, he does a lot of serious work where this was kind of like, oh shit. Like sometimes you forget who it is. We have Jay Patterson as Charles Pennington. To be honest, until last night, didn't know that what this dude, couldn't remember what this guy's name was. Like, Charles? Oh, okay, cool. This guy. The boss who goes to his co-worker's house all the fucking time. Why does he keep going to her house?
I know.
Just pick up a phone, dude. Just call.
Yeah.
And he brings his troubled son with him. Like, come on, man. Like, that shouldn't be her responsibility. All right. Michael Turney as Danny Pennington. We have Raymond Serra as Stearns. Who the hell? Oh, that was the chief.
The police chief.
Yeah. James Sato as the Shredder. Toshishiro Obata as Master Tatsu. And we have Sam Rockwell in this movie. It's always weird to see Sam Rockwell in this movie every time. Because like I've known that he's been in this movie for years. And then I watch it and I go, that's Sam Rockwell. You know who Sam Rockwell is? Does everybody know who Sam Rockwell is?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I literally only, I know because like everyone's going to make fun of me because this is a movie podcast. I literally only know him from this movie. Okay. Like that is who I know him as, is the kid in this movie.
Have you watched I mean, you have an Iron Man, you have the Hulkbuster.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen all the MCUs. Yeah, yeah.
So he's Justin Hammer in Iron Man 2.
Oh, okay. All
but
right.
He has been in... so many things. What was he in this year? He was in a movie this past year. I can't.
Oh, remember. Fuck.
It was like Oscar nominated. No,
he was in Argyle, wasn't he?
Oh, that's right. He was in Argyle. That's
right. Nobody cares.
But it's always fun to see him. And we also have a couple cameos in this movie. Some of them you can't tell because they're foot soldiers, but you have Skeet Ulrich from Scream. He's one of the foot soldiers. You have Scott Wolf, who is another like 80s, 90s teen heartthrob.
I love Skeet Ulrich.
Well, you can't tell because he's got the mask on. You're not going to be able to see who it is.
Damn it.
And Kevin Eastman makes a cameo in this as well, as do all the voice actors, except for Corey Feldman of the Turtles. Because Corey Feldman, I guess, was only offered like $1,200 to do his voice performance in this movie.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't think he comes back for number two, but I believe he comes back for number three.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And again, it's always weird to hear Corey Feldman's voice come out of Donatello.
It's so odd, right? Like, as a kid, I didn't know who Feldman was. I just loved the voice for Donatello because he's my favorite turtle, and he's so nerdy in the cartoon. And that voice makes him seem so cool in this movie. Like, he's...
It really does.
Right? Like, it's weird. I don't know. Frankly, he seems more like a Michelangelo, Corey Feldman, than a Donatello.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Works for me.
So, as the voice cast, we had Brian Tochi as Leonardo. We had Josh Pace as Raphael, who, for some reason, has the most New York accent of any of the Turtles, and sounds like he's 45 years old as well. Corey Feldman as Donatello, Robbie Reist as Michelangelo, Kevin Clash as Splinter. Clash was the voice of Elmo for a long time.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. Elmo's he's also the puppeteer as well for Splinter.
That's good. At least he's both parts, so he can kind of
Elmo's world.
Oh my gosh.
Started it.
David McCharen as the Shredder and Michael McConaughey. I don't think that's how you say it, but I'm going to say it anyways, as Master Tatsu, Michael McConaughey. Okay. And actually, that's kind of how it looks to be spelled.
I don't believe you.
One of my favorite facts, though, is the fact that Ernie Reyes Jr., who is a huge martial art stuntman in Hollywood, he actually had to fill in for the this big Hong Kong stuntman who got hurt during the making of this movie. He had to fill in, and some of the behind the scenes of this dude doing flips and shit with the Donatello suit on is unbelievable. Like, real time stuff.
It's wild what those guys were able to do in those costumes. Like, I mean, we could do the whole podcast just on how impressive the Turtles look in this movie.
Oh yeah.
But that those guys are able to do those physical feats with those costumes on is just insane.
Yeah.
The funniest thing is it the first one with like that's still the terrifying like mouth within a mouth?
Yeah.
Shot? Yes.
Why was I looking for it and I still didn't see it? Like, it must have happened so fast. I'm like, where is it? Is it this? Yeah. Because I know it's him and April in like a doorway, but I for some reason didn't see it. And I was like, that's okay. I've already had nightmares about that picture. It's horrifying.
The picture's terrifying.
So before we do that, let's talk about the financials, because this movie made bank.
$2.
This was an independent film, and it was the highest grossing independent film until the Blair Witch Project came out in 1999, which is insane.
That's
the New Line Cinema is the one who distributed the movie, which it was mostly famous for doing independent movies, but also Nightmare on Elm Street was its like big tent pole. This was considered an independent film. I had a $13.5 million budget, which was, it said it had like a higher budget than like, than Batman 89, which was a studio film.
That's wild.
That's crazy.
But it made $202 million at the box office. And there we go. That sprouted a massive film franchise, you know, up until this year this past year with Mutant Mayhem. So this franchise is just making bank. Even the BAME ones were making money. Like, people love the Turtles so much. They're like, even if they are giant monstrosities, we're still going to go see them.
Dude, I think they're timeless. Like, they're just, us 80s and 90s kids loved them. And then we had the 03 cartoon, and then a new generation of kids fell in love with them. And now kids are falling in love with them all over again. Like, it's just the staying power.
The 03 one, that was the Nickelodeon one, right? The one that had one of the actors, Rob Paulson, he voiced one of the Turtles in the original.
12. That was 2012. Okay. Yeah. He was Raph in the original. He was Donnie in 12.
Yep.
03 was like the really gritty one where they had the solid white eyes. And like it was pretty dark compared to like the other. Yeah. It's good. I think it's my favorite of the animated series. It's good.
I'm just waiting for that Ronin video game that they've been talking about for freaking forever.
I want a Ronin movie. Like, so dark and rated R. And anyway, I'm daydreaming. We're never getting that.
I feel like they tried to do that with that TMNT. That first animated movie they did.
Oh, the one with the statues?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I love that. I love that art style, but I don't want to watch the Turtles fight statues. Like, there's so many villains you could use. Why are we fighting statues? Damn it. But it did give us the Raph versus Leo fight in the raid, which is my all-time favorite Ninja Turtles moment in cinema.
That is very good. Sorry, and it's included in this awesome 4-pack I got. It has the original 3, and then it has that TMNT.
Nice.
So that's pretty sweet. I actually opened it for the first time yesterday. I've had it for like 10 years. All right. Well, if we're all ready, I say let's jump into the plot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Are you ready, Dan?
Yes.
Time to dissect
that
film.
Film.
This is so lame. People listen to our podcast.
Never gonna get better.
What are they doing?
Swish.
I'm watching Parker. I was like, I'm trying to be good.
It's never gonna work.
We need to keep at it though. We do. If we keep forcing it down people's throats, they'll eventually accept it. That's what I've learned from.
So the movie opens to the streets of New York City. It is gritty. It is dirty. It is not looking so good. People are getting robbed.
Part 8.
Yes. Yes. Heroin it pretty much. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, let's talk. The wildest opening scene to a movie I've ever seen. The opening of Friday the 13th Part 8. Okay. So you see a guy get his wallet stolen, and they're like passing it along. You see the kid. Danny, the son of the boss of April, and while all this is happening, you have April doing a newscast over kind of everything that's going on. I love how the dude who delivers a package and had a full truck, and then he comes back and it's just bone dry, like it's just picked clean. Like,
yeah,
there's no way. How many people? Like, it's not like he was there for 5 minutes. He was there for a matter of seconds. Like, please sign, turn around.
I know. I don't know what's more funny about that to me, that they clean out that whole truck in 3 seconds, or that the guy like would walk away from his full truck in the middle of New York during this crime wave and just be like, this is a good neighborhood. No one will touch my stuff here.
It's almost like going to the center of going to a park in New York at night to play chess with a ghost by yourself.
That's right.
That's the safe thing to do.
That's right. Hey, it worked out. It worked out.
In the end, it was fine.
Yeah. Anyway. I won't say anything else.
I also like the woman who gets her TV stolen just right in front of her. She like turns for a matter of seconds, and some dude just grabs a TV, hops off like a 3-story balcony.
Yeah. Like, what's he doing? Like, has he just been sitting at the top of the stairs on this fire exit being like, she's going to have to go to the bathroom. She does, that TV is mine. Like, just wait.
He's like, I've been doing pull-ups all week for this.
It's like a 15-inch Magnavox or some shit. Man. Like, we're going to get that bitch.
Oh, can you
imagine how heavy that? Oh, God, yes. Look at the fucking 2 TVs we have out there. Holy shit.
It's way like a fucking metric ton. We see April. She's done with her newscast. She leaves her job, and she's wearing the yellow like jacket, which is the only thing that really pays homage to her original outfit, because I guess they were gonna put her in her original outfit and she hated it. So this was kind of like a compromise, like, just wear this for a scene, please. So you actually look like April. So she is mugged by Sam Rockwell and his gang there, and like, what doesn't like steam, like steam comes up, and then, you know, you just hear a bunch of punches and kicks.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh, like, I think Sam Rockwell has a thing on his head that's spinning around.
Yeah, isn't that where Raph throws his sigh and breaks the light?
Yeah,
that's
right. Right.
That's how he loses his sigh, right? Yeah. They want to fight him in the dark or whatever. Apparently these turtles can see in the dark. I don't.
Yeah. That's when their eyes turn white. We just never get to see it. In the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Hey, they went through their radioactive phase. They have. That's true. You know,
yeah. It's funny that we're like, so wait a minute. These four little turtles are now giant world class ninjas, but they can. It's like, but they can see in the dark too. And it's like, okay, come on now. Like,
welcome to our show.
Little realism here, please.
This is the Riddick thing. This is the Riddick.
Yes.
Thing. Splinter polished their pupils so they could like. They can see at night.
All right. I can get on board with that.
Why is Vin Diesel here? Get him out of here.
Vin Diesel was one of the suit actors. They put another guy in there. He's like, I can't let anybody know about this.
So this is when we meet the titular turtles as they are walking through the sewer. And they're being immature as always, as Splinter is trying to talk to them, give them some wisdom, and they're just being teenagers. even though they don't any of them sound like teenagers, but they're being teenagers as they're dancing and, you know, wanting pizza and all that fun stuff that turtles want. Yeah.
Yep.
So Raph decides he's going to go out in a trench coat and a hat and hide amongst the people because he's not a gigantic turtle. And somehow, oh, he's coming out of Critters too. You see, he's coming out of the theater.
Yes,
Critters is playing. Yeah. I'm like, Critters come out in 1980 or 1990. I thought it was earlier than that, but that's fine.
Hey, ironically, at the time of our recording, Critters 2 is an Easter film.
Sure is.
Yep.
And so as of recording, yesterday was the 34th anniversary of this movie.
Yep.
That's crazy. That makes really me feel so old. That's wild.
I really wish Raph was wearing like a Groucho, like glasses and like mustache, the nose thing.
Me too. Well, because that's what I was going to say. Like, I love that they have the, because like, the trench coat hat is so stupid, but it is also what they did in the 80s cartoon, right? That was the costume. Yeah. But you're right. I wanted him to have the stupid, remember they used to have the masks they would pull on that just looked like these like horrible looking human beings, or they wore Groucho glasses. And you're right. I wish he had the Groucho glasses on too, but it is still dope seeing him in the trench coat and hat. I did like that.
Were they like actual people's faces? Like skin to people's faces? Like we need to.
I don't know. They were just horrible looking.
Oh,
just gross.
I'm assuming it was for the cartoon. They probably would have been fine. Listen,
when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles becomes public domain, expect a TMNT horror film.
No doubt.
Oh, please. That'd be awesome. Yes.
It won't be in our lifetime, though, because they only came out in the 80s. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got most other flesh-eating things that exist. We got, like frogs, and we got Gator Man, so we're right around that area.
Yeah, we're golden.
Yeah.
So he runs into Casey in the park as he is he's trying to stop some thugs, and then Casey shows up to finish the job. And it's like, you guys could have just worked together, but instead he's got to fight Raph because him and Raph have to have some like whose dick is bigger contest.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
I love it when he takes out the bats and he Raph grabs it and he's like, Jose Canseco, you didn't pay money for this.
Oh, that line. And when Casey takes out the, I don't even know what it's called, but the cricket bat, paddle. I don't know what it's called.
It's a cricket bat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Raph's like, you got to know what a crumpet is in order to understand cricket. And like, that whole scene where Raph and Casey fight, I love that. Like, cause you're right. They should be working together and it does tease that Raph Casey relationship. Right. But I love that scene where they fight and it proves that Casey's legit. Like it's, you can see they're both good guys. They're just both stubborn, pig headed jerks. But I love that scene. I love that whole scene where they're fighting. It's so good.
I mean, the best is when he gets hit with the cricket bat and he flies upside down into the garbage can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess when they did that stunt, it crushed the nose of the mask and it actually broke the actor's nose underneath.
Ooh,
so like when he gets out of the garbage and he's holding his nose, it's actually the actor reacting to his nose being broken.
Oh, that's that fun.
Interesting.
Hey, I got headbutted by my daughter yesterday. I couldn't imagine having my nose broken.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
During the movie. Not this. Yeah.
I was being helpful.
So Casey runs away and Raph follows. And there's the shot of Raph sliding over a taxi. And there's a guy in the back who reacts. That's actually the voice of Raph, which I thought was funny. As you can tell, he literally sounds exactly the same. But I guess it wasn't the actor's actual voice. I guess he actually was like, I want to make Raph sound like he's from New York. Like, I want him to like feel like he adapted to the city where the other ones kind of just did their own thing. Because his voice is so ridiculous compared to the rest of the turtles. It's great, though. Oh, yeah. Raph, but that's how Raph has always been. It's either Raph or Leonardo, who's always like the big-headed, dick most of the time. But
yeah.
In the end,
I think this is where Raph became the star of the turtles. Because like, he's not my favorite turtle, but I think he probably is the most well-known and popular of the turtles. He's definitely got the most character of the four, but like prior to this movie, he was like in the cartoon, he was just the like third wall breaking or the fourth wall breaking like smartass, right? And in this movie, they really made him the Raph everybody knows and loves, which is the jerk, like the guy that just hates everybody. And it was a big difference. I hated him as a kid. I hated Raphael. I just thought he was such a douche. I was like, let him leave. Like, you three will be fine. You don't need him. Like, let him go. But
Get that team player. He's not a team player. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But like, would have made for a pretty bad movie.
Who is your favorite?
Donnie,
turtle.
For sure. Donatello. Donnie's my boy.
Yeah.
Every I'm sorry. I don't mean to go on a tirade. I don't mean to go on a rant here, but like every situation, every movie, every TV show, it always comes down to the three of them being like, Donnie, can you fix it? And then he does something. Well, the three of them protect him while he's fixing something. The world would be gone a trillion times over without him. So anyone that argues against Donatello is just your. Listen, I love all of them, but you're wrong. Because, like, it's just Leo. Everyone's like, Leo's a great leader. And I'm like, no one's better at asking Donatello if he has a plan than Leonardo. So, like, it's, damn it. Anyways.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I'm glad we got that in here. I'm glad we did.
That's what I needed. I'm good.
So, I love Adam's rants. They're great.
Great. So, Raph gets back to the sewer because he loses Casey and Splinter gives him some wise wisdom, because that's the thing about Raph, is he is like the one turtle that takes his job the most serious out of any of them. And I think that's why he does what he does, why he goes out and tries to fight crime by himself, hiding himself, where the rest of them are just like, I just want to be a teenager. I want to eat pizza. I want to have fun, play games, do what I got to do. What's the matter, Dan? What did I say?
I'm an adult and
no,
I want to
do
that.
You didn't do anything wrong, because you're talking about he's the guy that takes him seriously. Like, yeah, he's kind of like Batman. And I thought of that meme of Batman and Raph from that comic. He's like, this is where my parents died, Raph. And then Raph always says something like, oh, completely off the fucking top. Topic. He's just, I fucking love that panel. That's what I thought. Yes, but you are correct. You didn't say anything wrong.
I still have to see that animated movie. I own it. I still haven't seen it. The Batman,
the TMNT versus Batman.
Yeah,
dude, it's in all seriousness, it's top three Turtles movies for me. Like, it's really good. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's stupid, but like, it's really good. Like, it's just, well, it's not serious like this one is, but like, as long as you accept that it's a silly cartoon, it's dude. There's a scene where Batman fights Shredder, and it's sick.
Oh, like, that sounds fight. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a great fight. Yeah.
So the next day, April is grilling the police chief about what he's going to be doing about the massive amount of just thefts around the city. And she is going at him hard, to the point where he literally calls her boss afterwards. Or he's just like, why are you grilling me like this? She's like, I'm just doing my job. You're not doing anything. You suck.
Yeah. Hey, Chief Wiggum, how about we get out there and catch a bad guy or two? Douche.
Some nice police work.
Well, actually, I should have mentioned the fact that this is the scene right before this is when April's boss is at her house with his son for the first time. And I was like, at first, because I hadn't seen this movie in a bit, I was like, is this her boyfriend, but also her boss? Like, it kind of feels that way. Like, his son is there, too. It's a weird situation. But then, no, he's just there. Why? Yeah. Okay, whatever. But the son steals money and then gets arrested for it later, because you see him getting kind of taken into custody after April leaves the interview.
It was like $20.
Yeah.
Because he gives her like 20 later.
But he probably got caught stealing something else.
Yeah, I assume he got caught stealing an old lady's TV off of her fire escape or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And another one of those JVs. Let's go get it.
This is when the rest of the turtles are down in the sewer watching her on TV. And this one, Mikey's like, she's a babe. And I went, yeah, Judith Hogue was a babe. Like,
yep.
And they just made her even more attractive as they kept going with April. I was like, okay, let's relax here. Okay. So Raph follows April and down into the subway. And this is when, like, she just misses the train, and then the Foot Clan shows up, and they're like, we have a message for you. Slaps her in the face, like, shut up.
I know! It's like, what the fuck,
I'm like,
dude?
Wow!
He, like, holds his hand up. Damn. I'm like, oh, he's gonna give her something, and he smacks her.
Oh, yeah, the whole, like, setup with just the hand open.
He catches her good, too. It's a slap, man. Yeah.
I was expected to be, like blow some powder, and she's like, knocks out or something. Like,
yeah, he's gonna, like, carry her back.
Nonsense, woman!
And yeah, well, she pretty much gets knocked out in the whole fight, because she gets her ass beat before Raph shows up and fights them all, and then takes her and brings her down to the lair, and then everybody's like, what? why did you bring her down here? And even split. The funny thing is they kind of react like, holy shit, we have, there's a person down here. And then at, like after 5 seconds, they're like, yeah, okay, I guess we're okay.
It's whatever.
Yeah. Even Splinter is just like quickly like, okay, we want to help you. I love though, like him caressing her with his creepy rat hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's awesome, like, well, that's my reaction when I wake up.
They might all be thinking like, you know, like we can kill her. Right, like if things go really wrong, yeah, like we're five world class ninjas, and we just saw her get slapped in the face. Like we, like we're not afraid of her.
They'll like, just put her body in the that grate that's in like the center.
Yeah,
of the
yeah,
floor
exactly.
That goes further
yeah.
in, they'll just stuff fine. It down there.
Nah. They'll be fine.
Yeah, that's when they go to right. another dimension. You're like, where'd she go? She's not here anymore.
What's the alternate dimension in the Turtles cartoon? Was it Dimension X or some
Dimension
shit like
X.
that?
Dimension X, yeah.
There you go. Just stuff her down there.
When you can't figure out a name for your new thing, you just put X next to
yeah.
it.
What well, that
we
was,
need
that
a,
was
guys,
back
we need dimension
before
name.
Everybody did it. That was just that was the first Dimension X.
Yeah, because then it was then, well, at, well, Godzilla had Planet X, they had Dimension X, and Powerpuff Girls had Chemical X.
Yeah.
There
Easy
you go.
Cake.
And then Professor X.
The X yeah. X is the scariest X is the scariest letter of the alphabet.
That's apparently.
Also,
yeah.
it's the scariest site on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's because
yeah.
X is going to give it to you. So.
Dang it.
Not anymore.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I have mine.
I was like, somebody take the low fruit. Somebody take the flow through. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going for it.
So this sorry. Is when Splinter tells her the origins of the Turtles. I love the sequence. It's all done. This was all directed by Brian Henson, son of Jim Henson, because it's all the puppeteering work with the, you know, they actually had real Turtles, the starting point, and then they turned into little puppets, which are awesome. And of course, they grow bigger and bigger. I love he tells the story about how he learned from his master, right? He says it because he tells this story ultimately twice.
Yeah,
because he tells it why the turtles become big, but he also then tells Danny later the same story, but it's just about him. Now, his origin of him learning ninjutsu from his master, that's from the comics, where in the animated series, his origin was he is the mat, that guy he talks about in the movie, but he transforms into a rat. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. I don't remember for sure if that's like if in the comics he was the rat that learned from his master or not. But you're right, in the cartoon he was the human that yeah. was a ninja master that got turned into a rat. And when I said off the top that I have one beef with this movie, that is the one beef. I understand we're all sustaining our belief because these turtles have become ninja. I'm down with all that. But like even as a child, I was like, so this rat learned karate in a cage watching a human before he'd been introduced to ooze or anything. He just learned karate. That's the one thing I so much prefer the storyline that he's a human that becomes, because then I believe it. Like he's a black belt human that then became a rat. But a rat that just learned karate watching. That's always been the one thing that bothers me about this movie. Minor thing, but it bothers me.
It is hilarious though. It is
oh yeah, like funny. He looks cool in a cage doing the poses and stuff.
Yeah,
but.
But anyway, you find out that the turtles were born the way they are is because they were found in like this ooze. They don't really go into any detail of what it was. It's just a green ooze that they wandered into and then that mutated them into the turtles we know. We'll learn more about it in part two.
Yes. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
In a world that has been completely divided for so long, two movie fans have decided to unite for the people and the betterment of mankind. One, an action movie buff.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
The other, a horror movie fanatic. Together, they will try to bridge the gap of both genres into one podcast with their battle cry, "Give me back my action and horror movies." Listen along as Charlie and Nate alternate each week talking about action and horror movies they cherish, mostly from the VHS era. Also, including some modern examples that felt like the movies they grew up with by answering the battle cry. Give me back my action and horror movies! Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Look them up on Facebook and Instagram.
So April then invites them over for pizza at her house, which she lives frozen above, pizza. But I love that though. And she's like, "What do you like on your pizza?" He's like, "Oh, you know, the normal, like, you know, grubs, flies, stuff like that." She's just like, "Oh," he's like, "No, no, no, no. It was just a joke." So the foot. So they go have pizza, and then they come back to their lair, and the foot took Splinter. Just like,
yeah.
And then you get like the dramatic like Splinter from Raph, because he is the most dramatic of any of them.
Yes.
You know, it was always kind of a dump, their little place that they lived in. Do you ever think they just walk in and be like, "Oh, the place looks nicer. I wonder where Splinter went." Like,
yeah. This is normal. It's a normal situation here. No, I do love though when they go back to April's and knock on the door, and she's like, "What? Oh, what is it?" And it's just, I love the mouth movement of the puppet head, just Splinter.
Yeah. Like, as I get it, I like what they're trying to do, right? Like, they're trying to show, like, they finally got serious. Their dad's gone. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. But it does look so weird the way that, like, when they zoom in on a mouth and nothing else moves except the mouth, then, like, it looks so alien. Like, it's so weird. Yeah. Splinter. The batteries are dying in the head. We need to get this scene in now. We'll speed it up in post-production. No one will ever know.
I was like, "What? You got a splinter in your hand? The rat can't help you. What's the problem?"
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess one of the actors in the suit was claustrophobic, and so he would have to shoot his scenes fairly quickly. It was only like a one or two take shot, and then he would rip his helmet off as fast as he could, because it was a terrible experience for him. I'm like, why? I mean, I get it's a job, and you're probably getting paid pretty decent to do it, but whew.
That'd be tough. Like, I wonder what those are. Like, I imagine wearing one of those heads would be like wearing like a motocross helmet with extra stuff on it, and like the visor's half closed. Like, I can't think of what else that must feel like, pulling that over your head.
Wearing a pumpkin on your head.
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing is, I would love to just be able to like wear one of those suits for like
me too.
20 minutes. Just put it on, move around a little bit, be like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not claustrophobic, but I could see being in a suit like that and freaking out, thinking that you can't get out of it. I've been in that situation. So I could see.
The zipper broke.
What's her face from Grease got sewn into her costume.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like,
I mean, that thing was the tightest outfit I've ever seen.
I would freak out knowing that I couldn't go pee.
Well, I'm like, and I've heard like several interviews with the actors that played the turtles talking about just what a mother, like, they were like, those suits sucked. Like, they look gorgeous, but they're just like, they were like, it was like a prison wearing those suits. Like, it was so uncomfortable. And I believe it 100%.
Well, I could tell Adam the story, because he might know real quick. Well, one year I wore a pumpkin on my head for Halloween, like an actual fucking pumpkin.
All right.
So like, yeah. You ever play Monster Party on the NES?
Yes, I have. Yes.
You remember the one of the monsters is like, one of the first bosses you fight is like a dude. It's like a white sheet and a pumpkin head. That's what I dressed up at. And like a large pumpkin on your head is extremely difficult to do anything in.
Yeah.
Because I had to put pins in, like toothpicks in the back to hold a piece in to keep it on. You can't see shit. It smells like not good stuff.
I imagine
similar to that, but probably worse. You can't. Yeah. People are like, "Is that a real pumpkin?" Like, I can't see you. Who's talking to me right now?
And you have to do karate in it. Like,
I didn't try that. There were a lot of minors. I don't want
I might have that picture.
Yeah, that would be odd, having to do flips and shit. Like, God, I hope I land this.
I can't imagine.
And the fact that, like, these guys were doing that. They were doing these flips with these suits on. Like, what? Yeah. No way.
I wonder if they, like, because it's all like Hollywood stuff. I wonder if they took notes from like other productions, because this kind of stuff is, there's precedence for this. You know, we've had like, especially in Japan, you know, you have like tokusatsu shows, Super Sentai and stuff like that. But we've had, didn't the Guyver came out before this, right?
The Guyver was 91.
It was the next year.
Come on, Dan, we did 91.
Dude, I can't fucking remember. What do you want from me? Anyhow.
Oh, another just weird fact. I guess in the comics, the turtles are only like 3 to 4 feet tall. And in this movie, they had to be as tall as they were because of the actors inside of them and the way that the suits would work. So
are they that short?
I guess.
I've always been understanding they're like 5 feet. But yeah, like that would make sense, you know, like especially when they were first created, like make them 3 or 4 feet. Like, what's the normal average height of a mutant turtle? I don't know.
The only one I know is giant. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. So, why not?
Is Gamera an official Ninja Turtle?
Oh,
is he like the Japanese branch? Of Ninja Turtles?
He is the origin of the turtles. Like that's where the mutagen came from. It was like Gamera got shot and his like blood like just used somewhere and it just leaked into something. Just, somebody took it and
like, oh, we got to study this. They got lost in the sewers in New York.
That makes sense.
That's where alligator and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We have to include the alligator. We have to include alligator.
That's
you know
fine.
What? I will. I gotta say, I'm kind of glad they skip over most of the origin. Like we've all
it's
watched so
nice.
Many superhero movies where it's like, oh, here's Peter getting bit by the spider again. Like it, you know what I mean? Like it was kind of nice that they're like most people that are coming probably know why they are like they are, right?
And
so like let's get into it. I like that they kind of just glossed over it. I like that.
And they don't need to tell you everything. You don't need to know everything.
No.
How many times do we have to see Martha and Thomas Wayne get shot?
Yeah.
Exactly. God, those poor people.
Like I like that they just kind of like jump to it. They're like, in 3 minutes, here's what happened. Let's get back to that. I appreciate that.
That's what I loved about the Batman. It was like, we didn't need to see Robert Pattinson's origin of Batman.
Yeah.
We know his parents died and we're going to move on.
Totally.
All right. So this is when April's boss just shows up again at her apartment. Like, what the fuck? Do you not know what a phone is, bud? Like,
yeah, it's weird.
And she always goes into the bathroom when he has to talk to her. Like, they're just like, well, this is a little personal here.
Yeah, maybe she thinks he'll leave her alone if she goes in there.
Clearly not.
Not at all. Not at all.
But this is when the turtles have to hide. And I love how you get like the shot of like one of them in the bathtub. She opens up the curtain. He's gone. I think Mikey's underneath the kitchen table and Danny sees him in the reflection, but when he turns, he's gone. I really like that. But the fact is, like, as soon as they walk out the door, they all just pop out. And you're like, how? How?
Ninjas, dude.
Ninjas, baby.
They are.
It's in the title.
Shut up, Dan.
It's
still
the first
ask the
word.
Question. We can still
no, it's
ask
the second
the question.
Word. Third word. Oh, Jesus.
That's in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's in there.
We then go to possibly one of the coolest clubhouses I've ever seen. Like, I want to go to this place. They got like skate ramps and arcade games and like
and Marlboros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cigarette. Yeah. Yeah.
Regular or menthol. What do you want?
Light them up.
Yeah. This is Sam Rockwell here. He's running the whole thing until, I can't remember this guy's name. He's like Shredder's like right hand man.
Tatsu.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he does his like normal. He doesn't say a lot in this movie. He just stares at people. And then we then see that there's like foot soldiers getting trained by him. I like how he's not a total douchebag either. I feel like these type of characters are always just the complete. They're just assholes. Like he does have an asshole moment later when the mission fails. But like he's watching these two people train. And then he's like, you know, good. You know, training him. But then he just kicks the shit out of this one guy. He's like, all right, my turn.
Wrecks him.
And then that's when we get the gong of Shredder. I'm like,
I thought the gong show was on. I was like, shit, how many gongs did he get? What was that? Fuck, hold on. Now, because I've been listening to a lot of your Simpsons podcast. What was it? Didn't Barney and Homer go on the gong show and they got like a shit ton of gongs?
Yeah, they have that stupid running joke on The Simpsons where Homer's lifelong dream and like every few episodes he has a different lifelong dream.
Yes, yes.
I don't remember what he was talking about, but then Marge was like, your lifelong dream was to be on the gong show and you did it in 86. And it's him and Barney just getting gong, 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 gong.
Yes.
He's like, we got more gongs than the breakdancing robot that caught on fire.
Thank you.
Know. I can't take a gong seriously either. I know.
I know.
Shredder's got a pretty mean gong.
Oh,
he does.
And he gives his kind of big boss speech. I had to write down the fact that he does say, I am your father. Not just like, okay.
He's trying to brainwash these kids, right? And be like, yeah, come steal from me and I'm your dad. And it's,
You start as a thief and then you end up being a foot soldier. And
yeah,
you do whatever
you
want.
Become a black belt ninja. Yeah.
They steal a lot of electronics, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they're using that to build robot foot soldiers? Like, this is like the start. Like, let's get a bunch of these electronics and we'll break it down and then we'll hire back.
I don't think at the time that was
there. No, I'm looking way too deep into it. It's fine.
I mean, that's what happens in that, in the Michael Bay ones. I think they, I think a lot of that is because you see what Shredder looks like in those movies. He is legit a Transformer.
Yeah, he's a Transformer. Yeah.
Okay.
But he has Splinter tied up, and the whole thing is we need to punish the turtles. Like, man, imagine being so mad and having to be like, my life's goal is to kill some turtles.
Those bastards.
He was bad as a child.
Yeah.
Oh. So, of course, so I forgot to mention the fact that her April's boss came over to tell her to kind of drop the story that she was doing to pretty much get off the police chief's back, but she goes against her boss and goes on the news to pretty much just throw him under the bus and pretty much talk about how the Foot Clan is doing what they're doing, and just love her boss just shaking his head on the outside. And then of course, as soon as it's over, he's getting a phone call from the police chief.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
Do you guys, in all seriousness, do you feel like the whole police chief thing could have just been dropped and nobody would have missed it?
Yeah, I do. In a way.
Because you can still have her on the air saying stuff, because the turtles are like, oh, we're watching her say stuff about this. And like the whole thing with her boss, the police chief, outside of his son being involved in it, seemed almost entirely irrelevant.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, no, I agree. Because, like, I mean, I guess they need to do the whole thing where April gets fired. But, like, yeah, they never actually have the police, they wouldn't have to have the police chief on the, like, you would need these scenes with him to get there.
Right.
Like, yeah, like, you know, I guess maybe they just wanted to, maybe they just wanted to make sure everybody understood. Like, if you're watching this, you're like, why aren't the police just stopping all these crooks? Maybe it's their way of being like, our police suck. That's why we need the turn. I don't know. I don't know. Because I agree with you. That's not necessary.
So Leo gets, or no, not Leo. Raph gets thanked by April on TV. And he's all like, smitten. But then him and Leo get into a fight. And this, we get the line that someone had mentioned earlier. The fact is like, he's, I'm going to leave. And he's like, fine. We're fine. We'll be fine without you. Fuck out of here, pretty much. And he goes on the roof and throws a hissy fit. And Casey sees him from across the way. And while he's kind of being sad, that's when the Foot jump him and start beating the shit out of him. He actually holds his own for quite a bit until there's just too many of them.
Sorry. So just Danny's the one that screws them, because Danny's the one that goes to them and tells them like, hey, I saw them at her apartment, which is why they. That's why he's.
That's
and why, I guess
right.
that explains
that's right.
why
that's
they.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess that explains why her boss is there to get the kid in there, so the kid can see the turtles and then tell Splint. I guess, like, I suppose.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
You could have got there much easier than there, but I guess it works.
No. No. Yeah. Because I forgot to mention. I mean, not that I really like mentioning
really
every fucking aspect of
no,
the movie,
it
but the fact is Danny and his dad are driving, and Danny just like fucking gets out in the middle of the traffic and just runs away, and so that's when he goes to back to Splinter. Or back to Shredder and tells him about where the turtles are. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a pretty important piece to kind of include there.
And that scene where Raph's on the roof by himself and then the Foot soldiers jump him. Mm-hmm. There's two things. I love the line where he beats one of them up and then he goes like, I mean, come on, how do you guys expect to beat me? And then like 80 more of them come over the roof and he's like, and then he goes, good answer. Good answer. And then he squares up and I'm like, that's, I love that line. And if I'm not mistaken, in the comics, it was Leo that got beat up to near death and thrown. I'm almost positive because April does live above her parents' antique shop in the comics and the turtles are there for a while. But if I'm not mistaken, and I might be wrong if I am, I'm sure you're listening to let you know, but I think Leo's the one that got beat up in the comics and they decided to do it with Raph instead, which I think makes more sense. Because this whole scene we're getting into where they fight all the Foot in the apartment in the antique store, to me, this is the best scene in the movie. Is this fight. I love this whole fight sequence. So anyway, that was my whole rant. I just, how do you guys expect to beat me? I fucking love that line.
Well, and speaking of a great line that for some reason I completely skipped over, and this is like the beginning of the movie, so I'm not going to go too deep into it, but we forgot to mention the, because I feel people are going to yell at us when they listen to the episode, you didn't mention this fucking part, is when they're waiting for pizza and the pizza delivery guy can't find where they live.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, just pass it down. You know, and he's like, well, you were 30 minutes late. And he's like, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Yeah.
The pizza delivery guy is the voice of Michelangelo. Just wanted to add that. And
oh, wow.
For everybody who was listening earlier in the episode and getting mad that I didn't mention that part, I mentioned the part and now we're going to be back to where we were.
I love that part. And then the part we're in right now in the apartment where Raph and Leo are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
See, my two favorite turtles are Donnie and Mikey. And I think my favorite thing about them is the way that they have like that brother, like Raph and Leo are the two oldest ones, and they fight all the time. And Raph Mikey and Donnie, easy for me to say, just kind of sit off to the side and just let them fight. You know, like they have their, like they're sitting there waiting for the pizza, or the part where Raph and Leo are fighting and they're just like trading food back and forth. And I've always appreciated the relationship with Mikey and Donnie, because they're like, we'll just keep our noses clean and let these two idiots
argue
with each other. I like that.
They're going to. Pork rind? Kitchen. And they both go to the kitchen.
Fight. Kitchen. And they just leave.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So, yeah. So, while Raph is getting his ass kicked up on the roof is when April comes home and gives them a tour of the antique store that I guess was her dad's.
Mm-hmm.
She's keeping it up. And the whole thing with the symbols. Like fucking with Leo and kind of just all just playing with all the different stuff, which then would later be used to fight Foot Clan members. But this is when Raph gets thrown through like a skylight into her apartment. And then this is when all hell ensues.
Yeah.
A big old fight. Like literally Mikey uses the symbols to like freaking smash a bunch of the soldiers. And yeah, every fight in this movie seems like it's just the turtles hold their own, and then it's just they're just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in this one. It's like, for one, Raph is out of the fight. Like, he was out of the fight as soon as he was thrown through the skylight. He's pretty much just laying there the entire duration of this fight. And April's kind of just there with him. Yeah. And the fact is they're fighting around him. It's such a weird image in my head. It's like people just are like, they're on the ground. Don't touch them. They're out of the fight. We can't touch those.
We got him. Let's get the red. I love this scene where they're fighting in that apartment and they all have the giant axes and Mikey's on the floor and they keep trying to cut him open and Mikey keeps rolling out of the way. And Donnie's like, these guys would make terrible lumberjacks or something. And Mikey's like, yeah, the only thing that would be safe would be the trees. While he's like dodging, they're swinging with the axes. Yep, yep. And I'm like, that's classic like Ninja Turtle, you know, the cheesy lines while they're fighting. Mm-hmm. And then all the foot soldiers are going to jump through the skylight. And Donnie's like, guys, I have to say, structurally speaking, this might not be the best time for your friends to drop in. And they drop in and they all fall. And that's that's really the only time in the movie where they play up Donnie being like the brainiac. Other than that, and then I guess when he fixes the truck. But other than that, like, he's not. They really made him. He's kind of Michelangelo in this movie. He's kind of.
Yeah, they're
just
all
the
pretty similar.
Yeah.
But speaking of the axes, I just found it hilarious. They had this dude. Like, I'm just imagining this dude holding all these axes around the corner, just like, okay, it's go time. And he just comes around with all of them, just handing them out. Like
Tyler, you have the axes. We'll signal.
You're the axe guy. Yeah.
These are really heavy. Can we hurry up?
this whole part reminds me, and I know they did this at the beginning of, because the place is catching on fire, reminds me of the opening of Turtles the arcade game.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, it reminds me of also like elevator stages and beat 'em ups where you're just stuck in one area and just keep flooding in on you, like every fucking floor is good. I like it. Just the stakes keep going up, shit starts burning down.
And
this is when Casey shows up.
Yeah. And,
he's like, are you guys messing with my green friend? And then, you know, starts doing what he does. And this is when the store just goes up in flames. I don't remember what caused the fire.
One of the guys with the axe hit like a electric box or like wires and like spliced it. And then it lit on fire.
I must have been.
And while they're fighting, that's when Danny calls and fires April.
Oh, yeah. Because he's got the answering machine hanging.
The phone's like hanging there while they're fighting. Yeah.
Which, to be honest, doesn't really play into anything. Like, it doesn't affect any of the story because it doesn't seem like she's affected at all by the fact that she was fired. I just thought it was a nice visual of it, kind of like the message of her getting fired, and then it's like as the answering machine is slowly melting, it's starting to get distorted, which I thought was a cool little spot. But if you think about it, didn't even need to be a part of the movie because April is not affected at all for the rest of this movie.
No, not really.
So yeah, but I mean, it is sad because like she just got done explaining the fact that it was her dad's antique store and she is only there to help keep it up and that it just goes up in flames.
Yeah. Like, ever since she met these turtles, like she lost her job, her house got burned down, like nothing has gone right for her.
Yeah.
And since she met these turtles.
This is when you see Danny kind of across the street, kind of witnessing what happened. And I think it's when he kind of starts to realize, maybe I need to not do this stuff anymore. Maybe I should get away from this. So this is when he goes back to the lair and Splinter, he talks to Splinter and Splinter gives him the origin again, but it's more of like him, he watched his master and that's how he was able to learn ninjutsu. And his master was in love or had a relationship with somebody, but his rival also was in love with her. And so he killed the lover and then killed the master. And then the rat scratches him, Splinter, before he becomes full-fledged human-sized rat, scratches him in the face. And then he cuts off his ear. Like,
and it just leaves. What?
Yeah, it's just by, and I just love how the like Splinter as a little rat is just standing on his back legs, just like, master.
Yeah.
Petting his head.
I love that the guy, like, Oroku Saki, like, the Shredder, you know, because that's, you know, obviously turns out to be that that's the Shredder. I love that he cuts up, like, do you have any idea, like, I've never swung a sword, like a ninja katana sword, but, like, how insanely precise that swing would have to be to cut a rat's ear off but not kill the rat? Mm-hmm. Like in a fluid motion,
like this much,
right? Like that's it's like it's a, oh man, I just barely missed him. Good enough, I'm out of here. Like it just that just seems so odd to me. But
if I see you again, rat, it's gonna be the other ear.
Yeah. I'll remember you, rat.
So he said that he was in Japan, right? So like this all happened in Japan.
No, that they. I think it's this is after they moved, or maybe they don't, did they not move yet?
Oh, I thought it all of this happens in Japan, and I was like, well, yeah, how did I honestly don't remember. Get to New York City?
Yeah, because they said
I mean,
they,
there's that, a rat, so I guess a shipping.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. While they were together, they wanted to move to Japan, and I'm assuming this happened afterward because when his master, I can't remember his name, walks in, he looks like he's wearing just uniform attire for a job. Yeah, so I think this is in New York. Let's explain how he's you know, hangs out with the turtles later.
I want it a little darker where it's like he chopped Splinter in half, but he like was able to like crawl his half of body into like the ooze and then it like reformed his body.
Yeah.
Would have made more sense. The fact like Adam nailed in the head, like how the hell did he precision cut off a rat's ear? That's like
clearly like they had to do it so that he remembered him like
right.
You know, at the end when he's like, the sees that he has no ear, but it's just like you couldn't have like, I mean, and I guess if you had cut out like an eye or something, it might've been a little too morbid for children. I don't know, but it does just seem a little bit like you cut off a rat's ear. Okay. But
I like your idea, Parker. You cut him in half. He falls down the grate. Right. Yeah. And then it fixes him and brings him back. But later on you find out the front half of his body, like regenerated, but the second half, like
he's
got to
fight himself.
And it's an evil. Yeah.
It's like the Slash of Splinter, like a Splinter version of Slash. Yeah, that'd be sick.
And
actually,
and then he'll get killed, and we'll turn the machine. Army of Darkness.
Yeah,
Army of Darkness with with Splinter. Speaking of Shredder recognizing that he's missing an ear, wouldn't he have noticed that when he chained him up earlier? Because I don't think he realizes who Splinter is until that final showdown.
No, I don't either.
So.
But and that's only because Splinter tells him.
Right.
Like Splinter's the one that reminds him of it, right? Otherwise, maybe he never would have noticed. But then what's the point of the ear? Because he tells him anyway. Yeah. I don't want to criticize. I love this movie. I don't want to criticize because I love this movie too much.
Listen, we talked about Jurassic Park like 2.5 years ago, and one of my biggest complaints about that movie, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time, is the fact the T-Rex enclosure has a 70-foot drop. But yet you see the T-Rex at like fence level.
That's a good point.
The hole before it breaks out, so make it make sense to me. Never will.
Them legs.
It's like Godzilla standing in the ocean. You ever seen that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
How does he stand there?
He just fucking waves.
He finds a sandbar.
Yeah, he's all right, time. Dude.
Yeah. So they go to a farmhouse, which is actually located only about 45 minutes from where I live. It's in North Hampton, Massachusetts. Yeah, because that's where Eastman and Laird met, was in Northampton.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool. So that's where this farmhouse is. And Casey and April hit it off. And by that, I mean they don't. April can't stand this guy. She pretty much is like, I don't care if you were like the last man on Earth. Not going to happen. That doesn't last very long.
He's going to get between them cheeks, bro. Stop.
Well, the thing is, he's very forceful as we get to the next situation that they're in.
Yeah, he is.
So Raph wakes up.
Wow, bro.
Raph and Leo make up. They hug it out. So cute. But then we get the Raph again going, Splinter!
Yes.
We then get a training montage. I love training montages, especially when they're giant turtles. And this is when Casey gets really like handsy with April. Like she's like, you know, she's got like a crink in her neck or something. And he's like, at first he's like, should I do it? No, I'm going to do it. And he like tries to give her a massage. She's like, whoa. And then he fucking grabs her by the shoulders and throws her in the chair and just forcefully starts giving her a massage. And to the, at that point, she's just like, okay, I guess this is happening.
Yeah.
Oh my God damn. And then we're supposed to be like, yay, Casey. Oh boy. Problematic. But I do like when Mikey who comes in, you know, he's all sore after his training and he grabs the turtle wax.
Yeah.
Great little touch.
That son of a bitch.
So we then see Leo kind of doing some meditation to the point where he actually can see that Splinter is still alive. So he goes back to the other three and was like, hey, I know he's alive. And they're all like, yeah, we know he's alive. And he's like, no, I actually know. So then he brings them around a fire. They do meditation and then they get like a force ghost of Splinter. I know he's not dead, but it's a force ghost of Splinter.
It's a force ghost. Force ghost.
Yeah, it's a force ghost. That's how force ghosts work, right? Star Wars.
100%. That's the astral projection thing.
That's actually what it is. What Dan just said, that's what it actually is, but I just want to call it a force ghost so that Star Wars fans can be
I like that one better.
Yeah.
He's like, not dead, and he doesn't have the force.
How do you know? He wasn't there. They weren't there.
I know.
I don't fucking know.
It's true.
So this Splinter pretty much brings them together. You know, he gives his wisdom. I can't remember everything he says, which is fine. But he pretty much gives them all the wisdom to the point of like, you guys need to get together. You need to fight for each other. And they all cry it out. They all hug each other. And it's go time. They got to go because they get the whole epic thing where they walk up and they're like, it's time to go back. Like, we've been here for like 5 minutes, guys. Maybe we should wait a little longer.
We just got the internet hooked up. Everybody relax.
I just put a roast in the oven. You guys can wait till after dinner. But you're right, yeah. So like Splinter's vision brings them back to the city as a team again.
This is also where we find out that Casey played hockey for like 6 days.
Yeah.
He's like, you played hockey before? He's like, yeah, I was pro for like a minute and a half. Oh, okay, that's cool. So they go back.
Weird sport fetish, but that's fine. At least we have an explanation for it. Did he roll a mutagen too? Is this like sticks like mutagen?
Well, I do like that his mask is very reminiscent. It's like a very futuristic looking Jason mask. Like it's supposed to be a hockey mask, but
I've always loved Casey's mask. Like I just that mask is so as soon as I see it, I'm like, oh my God, that's Casey Jones. I got to love that mask.
Of course. As soon as you see it, it's like one of the most iconic masks probably in like cinematic history, not just cinematic history, but just like media history. And I hate that they constantly have him take it off. Like, I wish he would wear it more when he would fight. Like in those Michael Bay produced ones, Stephen Amell played Casey Jones and they never kept his mask on. And it's like, I don't need to see Stephen Amell's face. I want
truth be told, I actually kind of like the second cycle for what it is. I kind of like the fan service of the second Michael Bay movie because we get Bebop and Rocksteady in the van and Krang and the Technodrome. But Casey is like such a bitch in that movie. And I'm like, dude, Casey's like the most badass one in this fucking universe. What are you doing? Like, oh God, I don't want to talk about it. It hurts my feelings. It's so bad. But
so they get back to the sewer and they see that they already knew that their place was trash because this is when Splinter was taken. I do like the whole thing where, you know, because Casey's not too sure about staying in the lair. Yeah. And one of them goes, are you claustrophobic? And he's just like, excuse me, I have never been with a man before.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
So. Oh boy, where the hell am I?
Something about pizza.
Yeah,
pizza. The pizza. Oh,
it's always about pizza.
Yeah.
No, it is. Like the next thing is one of the next things.
Oh yeah, cause they find the pizza. Because Danny's hiding in the lair. Yeah.
Yeah, Danny pops out. Fixed. They find the pizza that's got the mold on it. They pretty has to have like a funeral for the pizza slices.
Everybody starts spamming F.
Yeah,
come on, guys.
And while everybody's sleeping, Danny splits back to the lair because he's going to try to help free Splinter. And Casey follows him. And he gets... So this is... What, Splinter tells his origin again? Or did I... I think you just jumped the gun.
I think did now I jump? Is when okay. he, I think now is when he explains his origin to Danny.
Okay. And then that's when, yeah, Casey just shows up. He's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I guess I'll help you do whatever. Yeah. And then he's I love the whole reaction, though, as Casey is like helping get Splinter off the wall. He's just constantly looking at him like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah,
like,
he's going to get a disease.
Yeah, well, wash your hands. Splinter can't smell good, man.
No. I've always thought Splinter would be scarier than the turtles. Like, if you just ran into one in an alley without talking, Splinter would be scarier than the turtle.
Yeah.
If I turned a corner and I saw Shredder, I'd be like, oh, that's pretty, this would be pretty cool. If I turned a corner and saw a 6 foot tall rat, I'd be like, oh, no.
with one ear. With one ear. That's the real horrifying thing.
I always wanted when they did the remake of Willard, if anybody's ever heard of the movie Willard, it's the guy who could, like, control rats. And just imagine his, like, final rat. Like, as he's like about to die, he's like sends in his final rat, and it's just fucking Splinter.
What's the movie that? Oh fuck! It's the movie Dumpster and fucking Tony from Hack the Movies talk about the rat of unusual size. It's got RoboCop in it. RoboCop plays in it. He's a writer and he lives in his house, and there's this giant rat. And Tony says it's not giant. That's the movie I keep thinking
Of Unknown Origin.
Of Unknown Origin. Thank you very much. It's like a slightly larger rat, apparently. Anyway, that's what I thought of.
So Shredder is sick and tired of the bullshit because the foot just sucks. Because as I didn't mention before, after the foot failed to kill the turtles, they go back and Tatsu just kicks the shit out of one of the foot guys, like almost to death. And I guess in the original script, the guy was going to die, like he was supposed to die. But they were like, yeah, probably shouldn't do that. But I think that's kind of where a lot of the foot soldiers were just like, what the fuck are we doing here? Why are we doing this?
They want to play that sweet ass NARC arcade cabinet. That's what they want to fucking do. I didn't see what the other one was. I only ever saw NARC. I was like,
yeah, Casey breaks them because he fights Tatsu to save Splinter because he has that sweet scene where he hits him with the golf club, and then he does the flying through the air thing, which is so cheese, but it's awesome. And then, Casey tells all those kids, he's like, this is your family, like, and points at Tatsu, and that's when the kids kind of start, you're right, this kind of sucks, fuck this place. Yeah, that's, like, Casey's the hero. Casey saves Splinter, he breaks up the Foot Clan, Casey did everything.
Yeah, dude, help me out.
Yeah, because after he hits Tatsu, he looks at the golf club. He's like, you know, I'll just make sure never to call golf lame again or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good line.
So the turtles hold off the Foot Clan once again as they swarm their lair. They kick the shit out of everybody. And Shredder shows up. They get to the roof, and that's when Shredder shows up. And it's one of those I love that this movie was just like, we're not gonna have the turtles fight them all at the same time. It's gonna be everybody's gonna take a turn. It's like taking a ticket at the grocery store at the deli. You're just like, okay, I'm number three. Okay, let's go. So it's like one at a time. They're going after. And the funniest thing is when you look at the fight, it's really not that intricate. When you look at like what Shredder's doing to the turtles, it's not like he's like doing some crazy fucking moves to like knock them out. He's like tripping them. He's like doing just one little crazy thing to like make them fall on their face, and they're getting up like, oh god,
dude, when Leo, it drives me insane when Leo, like when Splinter or when Shredder catches Leo and like threatens to kill him, if you watch that scene, Leo literally just runs at him and like dives like he's like belly flopping into the pool. He just dives ahead with his swords ahead, and all Shredder just like steps to the side and he's like, you're the good one, like, okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah. Leader,
I hate that. I'm like, what are you like, that's something Raph would do, like Raph flies off the handle, not Leo. Like, they really don't do Leo justice in this movie at all.
He really doesn't do anything.
Crappy. Yeah, he's pretty crappy in this movie.
He doesn't have a lot of dialogue, and he's not, compared to the other three. I mean, Donnie is probably like the other turtle that doesn't do a whole lot, but he does way more than Leo. Like, Leo just kind of disappears because, he just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
But this is when they go at him again, and Shredder Is it Leo or Raph that he pins to the ground and puts?
It's Leo. Okay. Yeah, it's Leo.
And he pretty much says he's going to kill him. They got to put their weapons down. Of course, call them fools because they put their weapons down. And then that's when Splinter shows up because Mikey throws his nunchucks, which I forgot to mention the awesome line that he has before when he fights another guy with nunchucks and they have the nunchuck off. He's like, chuck off.
Yeah. Fellow chucker, eh?
And they're just sitting there just going,
everybody's just allowing it to happen.
Finally, Mikey is just spinning it on the tip of his finger like a basketball.
Yeah.
And he's got his finger in the like chain between or whatever it is between the wire, and it's just spinning on his finger. But it's still pretty dope.
He's just too damn good.
Yeah, he is too good.
Oh man. So yeah, and Splinter shows up with the nunchucks, and he pretty much tells Shredder who he really is. That's when Shredder takes off his mask. You see the scar on his face from when he was clawed. And this is, listen, I love this movie. I really do. This movie is fantastic. But this fight sucks because Shredder just runs at him. And then Splinter does a crazy move, which then throws Shredder over the side of the building. He holds on for a bit, but then he ends up tossing him off into the garbage. And then Casey...
Whoops.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Casey turns on the garbage truck thing and kills him. He's just kind of morbid.
Shredder doesn't even let Splinter finish monologuing. He
that's what I said.
Yeah.
He's like, enough talk, rat.
So like in the original comics, Donnie kills Shredder in the first issue. They're on a roof fighting and Donnie throws his bow at him and like knocks him off the roof and kills him. So I think they were kind of trying to tie that in, but it wasn't. It would have been much more badass if Donnie had done it.
Fuck yeah, but dude.
Watching it yesterday, I was like, wow, this is just, there's not a lot that happens with this fight scene. Like, movies since, and even before that, do the same thing where they build up this villain to the point that when you finally get a fight with the villain, it's just so lackluster. You're like, oh, what was all that build up for? I want to see, like, these, I would love to see Splinter and Shredder just go at it. Like one thing that I do enjoy about the 2012, I can't remember what year that one came out, the CGI mess that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But when they fight Shredder, it's pretty much a reimagined version of this fight because they're fighting Shredder on the roof of a building, but it's Super Shredder with his fucking Transformer suit. But it's funny because they do the same thing where it's like one at a time they fight him, but it's a better fight, but it's just a CG mess. Where this one is, it has more heart because it's all practical and you care more about these characters than you ever cared about any of those. But yeah, the fact that Shredder really doesn't do anything in this movie other than a lot of talking and he looks really cool, I would have loved to see like a 30 second to a minute fight between him and Splinter, and then the Turtles kind of have to come in and do whatever they have to do. Because the fact is that Splinter is the one that ultimately kills Shredder, not the Turtles. Yeah.
If we had gotten like when Leo runs and just dives at him, like Leo's supposed to be the most disciplined, you know, arguably the best fighter of the four of them, right? Like even if we had gotten a minute of just Leo and Splinter Shredder, like going back and forth, and then Shredder overtakes him and then says, throw your weapons away. Instead of just making Leo look like a dipshit, like he just baseball slid through the air and got like something like that. I agree with that 100%.
I think Leo, all Leo did was give him a paper cut, wasn't it, on the arm?
Yeah,
he slices him once, But I would have liked to have seen a minute or so where they just threw down with each other. Yeah. But then he does. He falls in the garbage truck, and then Casey kills him. Whoops.
Accident.
Yeah.
He's very cool. He's very fine with doing that, too, by the way.
No, yeah. Just because he doesn't bother him at least. Yeah. So, Casey's killed people before. I think Casey's killed people.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not
You don't go around New York hitting people with like I'm Canadian. I own several hockey sticks. You can't just walk up to people and hit them with that thing in the head and be like, they'll be fine. Like it's you're killing them. Like I don't know.
Maybe not right now, but they'll probably
you've done irreparable damage. Oh, yeah. This man.
He didn't even blink an eye when he hit that control to just squish Shredder.
No problem. Didn't care.
So okay, he literally just goes, guys. Oops.
Yeah,
senselessly murdering people's fine if they're wrong.
And so April gets rehired. She gets more money. She gets a better job. She pretty much gets everything she deserves. Casey, I guess, gets what he deserves, and that's April. Even though he's
get some cheeks, baby.
Even though he's kind of a creep.
He's a murderer. Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes the bad boys.
and they make out, and I love the turtles. The funny thing is, I always imagine, I always think of like the cartoons when like they're really in love with April, and like they get jealous when April's out like with Casey or whatever. With this one, it's like at first Mikey was really into her, and then after like he sees her with Casey, and I always was expecting him to be like, "The fuck is going on here?"
Yeah, yeah.
Or them being like, "No, that's she's mine." But no, they are all like rooting for him on the roof.
Yeah.
And this is when, you know, they're saying all they're saying a bunch of different words, and then Splinter goes, "I like cowabunga." He's like, "I made a funny."
That's good stuff. As a kid, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's good it. Movie.
That is. This is where Danny's Ninja dad Turtles. Asks him if he's okay, and here I am singing Smooth Criminal, but. Singing, yeah, Danny, right, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Are you okay, Danny?
Are you?
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I like the Danny story, but his dad I could give two fucks about.
Yeah, his
dad I'm just still awesome. Thinking about the fact, I was like, why does he keep going to her apartment?
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Like, if they wanted to have April's boss in the movie, it should, remember Vern? Or not Vern.
I was about to, yeah.
Not Vern. It's Who was Vern? The boss? The little short guy. Vern was the cowardly cameraman.
That's it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But then she had that boss who was like the little short guy with the gray hair. And he was really, you know what I'm talking about? In the cartoon, he was kind of mean. I can't remember his name now. But they could have made his like stern, like the police chief could have been her, like, yeah, what her boss was. Like, I think that would have, anyway.
Yeah. The police chief was very generic, if you think about it. Cause there's, whenever they put like a police chief in a movie, in like a superhero movie, they're all this guy.
Yeah. Grumpy and kind of incompetent. And
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. What, Dan? What the fuck do you want?
I was like, thank goodness this movie didn't take place in Florida.
Oh, well, the funny thing is this entire movie was shot in North Carolina.
Hey, that's not far from us. Yep. But no, the sheriff, recently a sheriff, I don't know if you heard about it, in Florida, pretty much just said, like, hey, if somebody breaks into your house, shoot them, because we don't want to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I'm like, that's you not.
Sounds like a Florida thing to me.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely. Like wow.
We don't want to do our job, so just do it for us.
Yeah, well, that's the that's okay. Just, I figured that's the whole storyline for GTA 6 right there.
Yeah, no shit. Dude, that's such a Chief Wiggum. Chief Wiggum's got a great line. I don't remember what happens, but Chief Wiggum's like, can't you people solve some of these problems yourself? He's yes. Like, we can't be policing the whole city. And yes. It's such a classic Chief Wiggum. I love Chief Wiggum.
So anytime awesome. Chief Wiggum's going to call for something. Ah.
Yeah. He's
All right. Well, now we're going to go around and give our final thoughts on the movie. And then we're going to jump over to social media and read what you all had to say about TMNT. So, Adam, what are your final thoughts on TMNT 1990?
Like, as I'm sure people listening to this can gather, like, I genuinely love this movie. Like, and it's not just because I truthfully think it's just a good movie. Like, I don't think you have to be a Turtles fan to enjoy this movie. You probably enjoy a lot more, but I think it's just a good movie that anybody can watch. And I don't think we really spent that much time on it, and I'm not a big movie guy. I don't know a lot about special effects or anything, but, like, I'm still in awe of how good the suits look in this movie, like, 35 years later, 34 years, whatever. I truly just think this movie is so much better than it had any business being. Like, it could have been so much worse and we still would have loved it. And that they nailed it like they did. I love this movie. I love it.
Angela, since this was your first time, at least remembering.
Yeah. Remembering.
Movie, what did you think of it after watching it?
There's a lot that goes on in this brain that you have to, you can only remember so many things before new information comes in and you have to get rid of a memory or something.
Yeah, that's fine.
I understand completely. Somebody literally messaged me yesterday and was like, hey, you said this in an episode like fucking a year ago. What was that movie you mentioned? And I went, bro, I can't remember episodes I recorded last week. Like, you want me to remember an episode I did a year ago? And to be honest, that's one of the reasons why I enjoy listening to our show. Like, I'll listen to our own show because I feel like a listener instead of it just being like, okay, I'm listening for like mistakes or whatever, because to be honest, it gets to the point where I'm like, I just don't care. I just like it because I feel like I'm listening to somebody completely different, even though I know it's me. But the fact is, like, you really want me to remember that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. I don't like hearing myself talk, so I can't I can't listen to this.
We'll even post episodes we did, like you said, not long ago. I'm like, oh, you know, like, I'll do something or you do something. Like, oh, a great reference. I get this reference. I was like, fuck, what did I reference? And they're like, I can't, I don't know. Like, I don't remember.
That's why they're here. All right, Angela, go ahead.
But yeah, I loved it.
As just say turtle power.
No. No, I was... Well, I was trying to remember the different movies, and I was like, is this Go Ninja Go? And Dan's like, no. I was
Next week.
Damn. Yeah. I know. I love that song.
I don't.
That song's awesome. I love that song, too.
And we're going to be doing it a lot next week.
Gonna,
I know.
He's just going to have to listen to me singing it throughout the house.
It's fine.
It'll be okay. No.
I'm just going to eat a ice donut with some ice in it, and I'll be okay. I'll be A-okay.
But yeah, the practical... practical effects were great, just because I love practical effects. You can do good things with CG, but practical is the way to go.
And it was done by Jim Henson, so which makes it even better.
Yes.
Sad thing, though, he died 6 months after the release of this movie.
So. Yeah. I know, I love Jim Henson. But, yeah, loved it.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I don't remember much of it from my youth, but it's an enjoyable movie. Again, I'm like, we'll probably end up echoing each other quite a bit here. I enjoyed the practical effects. It was fun. It's what I enjoy. The story was fine. The characters were enjoyable. It's Turtles. Like, I'm not like a hardcore Turtles fan, just saying like I'd say about Ghostbusters, but it's stuff I watched growing up and I enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I already mentioned it in the beginning of the episode, so I'm not going to, like, you know, repeat myself, at least not the whole thing. I love this movie. This movie rocks. I grew up with this movie, loving it from the first time I saw it, and I loved rewatching it last night, and I can't wait to watch it again and be able to just kind of enjoy it without, you know, it's fun to watch a movie after we do an episode on the movie, because when I watch them for the show, I have to take notes because I have the worst fucking memory. So trying to remember like what happened in a movie. So being able to just sit there and watch the movie is going to be a lot of fun to do again, even though I've seen this movie probably a dozen or so times, probably even more than that. But yeah, this movie rocks. I love it.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go over to social media where we ask you what you thought of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1990. We're going to start over on Twitter/X. Our first comment is from the Let's Talk Horror channel, or at Let's Talk Horror _. Who said, one of my most watched movies ever. What's not to love about some ooze-created Ninja Turtles who love pizza and kick ass? It's funny, it's got heart, it's pretty dark, and has one of the greatest lines in cinema history. I have a message for you. Slaps April's face. Shut. Our next one is from Kevin Brackett, or at Kevin R. Brackett, who said, it's a well-made film. Not just a good Turtles movie, but a good movie, period. Feels closer to something you'd see at the art house than in multiplex. Still holds up today. At Screen Nerds Pod says, it's a classic. And at Mickey Joe Smith says, it is the greatest movie ever. And
all right,
our last one from Twitter is at Buckner Price, who says, soundtrack was fire. Turtle Power was a real banger. Yeah, I forgot to mention the awesome song that literally just narrates this entire movie during the end credits. Yes. Fantastic.
Drives me crazy, though, because in that song, they're like, and then they call Raph the leader. In that song, at one point, they're like, Leonardo, Michelangelo, and Donatello make up the team with one other fellow, Raphael. He's the leader of the group. And I'm like, no, he fucking isn't. He's literally the cancer of the team. He's the problem. Damn it. Also, if you've never heard it, look up 9.95. That is such a banging song from this soundtrack. And it's not on like on Apple or Spotify or anything.
By Spunkadelic.
And it's such a good song. Oh, it's so good. 9.95.
Sounds oddly sexual.
So yeah.
The funniest thing is we did our episode last week on the Addams Family from 91. And MC Hammer did the end credit song for that movie. MC Hammer has a song on the soundtrack for this movie as well. Mm. This is what we do. The Turtle Power, or TURTLE Power,
that's what everybody knows,
is Partners in Crime with a K and a Y.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
All right, over to Instagram. We have one over there from Cheers, Oh my God. Why is this Cheers Big Ears podcast?
Hell yeah, dude.
See, usernames always throw me off because it's always like a name of a podcast, but you have to know where the breaks are. It says, are you guys just doing a series of films just for me? Love the Turtles. So much so I have a trench coat Raphael as a half sleeve. Like Big Trouble, oh. I look forward to listening.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we are doing it just for you.
Yes. It's all for you, Damien. We have a couple over on Threads. Our first one is from Contrarian Prime. He said, not as fun as playing the video games, but better than its sequels. Thank you to everybody who left us a comment. Make sure to follow us on all the social medias if you want to participate in the show. I usually post what movie we're covering the day before we record. So, you know, stay tuned and participate. And if you've seen the movie, please leave us a comment because we're going to read it on the show. And it's fun to read your opinions on the movies that we talk about. So thank you for that. As for next week, we're staying with the Ninja Turtles as we talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. And we have some returning guests. We have our good friends Dustin and Paul from the Flicks and Friends podcast coming to join us once again. Yeah, we're very excited because we're covering all the Ninja Turtles, and then I'm not even going to tell you what we're doing after that. But right now, we are going to have Adam plug his show one more time before we go. So, Adam, where can everybody find you?
You can find Remember the Game wherever you get your podcasts. It's on all of them, I think. If it's not on one, I don't know how to put it there, but I think it's on all of them. And like I said, we're coming off of episode 300, and all I do every week is talk about an old game with a friend of mine and usually get mad, and there's lots of swearing and Simpsons references. And if you like subpar podcasts, we are the one for you. So that's about it. Look up Remember the Game wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, if you consider yourself and your show subpar, then we must be the grime.
No, you guys seem much more professional than my show. But
oh my god!
Oh no!
Yeah.
Somebody tell the presses. Somebody's super professional.
Dude, my podcast is held together with like gum and twine. Like it is just that we've made it this far is insane. But no, this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you guys for having me. I could talk about this movie for days. I adore this movie so much.
It was an absolute pleasure. So for everything, Remember the Game, again, gonna be down in the description. Please, if you are if you like video games, if you like listening to somebody talk about video games, Remember the Game is one of the best to do it. All right. Like I said, he is number one in Canada and soon to be the world. All right. Because I look at those iTunes lists or whatever the hell the Apple lists of where your podcast is compared to some pretty substantial shows and the fact that where you are, it's like super impressive and like absolutely amazing. Hopefully we can be even like a glimpse we're in the movie game. So that's a fucking distance, but sometimes we chart sometimes, but no, seriously, Remember the Game. Fantastic podcast. Adam is a fantastic host. He runs a fantastic show. I'm going to keep saying fantastic because it's all very true and we can all attest to it. So, as for us, you can follow us. I already shared where you can follow us. We're on all the social medias at Dissect That Film. We are on YouTube at youtube.com/dissectthatfilm, where you can watch the podcast in video form. You can see our faces right now. There's nothing too fancy about the video forms of the podcast, but we're there. And we are also on Patreon, patreon.com/dissectthatfilm. For $1, you can get access to polls that we're going to be doing once a month to let you all choose movies that we cover. We also have, you can also get early access to new episodes. So every Monday I've been dropping our episodes early, so you can get access to that. And sometimes I just like to shoot messages to anybody who's in the Patreon. And then for our $5 tier, we have an exclusive Patreon show called The Monster Zone, which is hosted by Dan and Angela, where we spin a wheel once a month and we talk about a monster movie. And it's a lot of fun because it's uncut.
Yes, it is.
Uncensored. No editing because fuck editing. It sucks.
Yes, it does. It does. Yes.
And we just love everything we talk about on that show. We feel it's well worth the 5 smackaroonies. So thank you to all of our...
Horror.
I mean, it was great to talk about. It was not a good movie. That movie fucking sucked. But yeah, you can follow us there at patreon.com/dissectthatfilm. We appreciate all of the support from all of our current patrons. You're all amazing. I'm not like Adam, though, who's going to name them all because I always forget to pull up my list. So you all know who you are. You're all amazing. And I think that's about it. Is there anything I always ask at the end? Is there anything I'm missing, guys? Is that it? All right. Well, until next time, I am Brett Parker. That is the. Well, let's try that outro again. All right. Until next time, I am Brett Parker. That is Dan Angelo of DNA Gaming. And that is Adam Blank of Remember the Game. This has been Dissect That Film Podcast, Season 2, Episode Something. And we'll see y'all again next time. Cowabunga!
Wish.
Bye.
Wish.